I really want to encourage you. When we come here on Sundays, God, meet us every time. Every time there's something here, every time there's a word for someone, people walk out of here. I remember saying things, and then people will come to me during the week and say, this is what God has done for me during the service. And I realize, okay, I didn't say that. I didn't preach about that. That's just God. So just expect Him to meet you where you're at. And we are a few weeks down the line in our comeback series. We started talking about no one is too far away, no one is too lost to come back to Jesus. And sometimes we feel that our life has took a few twists, that I can't come back from here. And we spoke about that. We say everyone can come back. Everyone can come back to Jesus. But not only what we see in the movies, there's the underdog. And then, like we said, he trained for a couple of months, and then he come back and his victory. Or there's the top dog, the champion, and then he goes on his own on the street usually. And then someone will see him, and they train, and he come back. And those are just the comebacks that we see. But then there's, sometimes we just need to come back to God. Sometimes something just happened in our life, something derailed us a bit, and we just need to reach out. We just have to say like that thief, Jesus, remember me. Look at me. This is where I am. And we've talked about some things that only God can do when we pray, and when we trust God, holding on to God. There are some things that only God can do. I know in our own strength, we try to do a lot of things. I also love to make plans. And you all know the A-team, everyone loves when a plan comes together. That's what we love. But then God just comes and says, my plans are beyond your plans. I'm just beyond that. But it takes some faith to see that and to hold on to that. Because sometimes things is not going to happen right now. Sometimes there's a journey. And even through that, God is with us. Even through that, there's often people saying that everything must be sorted, everything must be amazing, and then we're walking in the will of God. And it's not like that. Sometimes there's a storm, and God is there in the boat, and we are in the boat, and we're going straight through the storm. I remember, you guys know of all my car and all the lights that go on my dashboard. Yuck, that used to be a pain in my heart. If I start up and I see, ding, and it's not the fuel light. It's something else. Yuck. It was just a bad experience. Because I know sometimes that really cost me. And my pocket. And actually, through this, all of this, even when the lights go on, that's for me very practical, because I know that experience, how I feel. And I told Lee the other day, I can now just say, okay, Lord, you are with me and we're going through this. And this is something on the car, or maybe at work, something is going to happen today, something is not going to be so perfect, maybe there's going to be a massive fight, and then I must go and make right. But even through all of this, you are with me. And I can trust you for the outcome. I can trust you that something good can come out of this chaos, of the stuff that's broken. And even that is us coming back to God. We mentioned the biggest comeback was Jesus when he was raised from the dead. Overcame death, overcame sin. That is always the biggest comeback. So today we just continue. And I just want to start out and say that sometimes we are locked out. How many of you have been locked out of your house? Or that's a bad experience, man. Or locked out of your car. Maybe not today's cars. I think that everything just opens. If you come close, it opens. But I drove many cars that I got locked out of. And I remember those phone calls, not phoning the AA, because I need someone with a key. And okay, I was also one of those guys. At one stage in my life, I walked to the locksmith and I said, I want to pick locks. I think that looks like a nice hobby. And he said, okay, so how much money do you have? I said, well, I'm a student. I was there in the NLC. They said, this is what I can give you. I think it's going to be a new hobby. And he took out a whole list of keys. And he said, you can have all these keys. It should fit 75% of all the cars out on the road. I thought, wow, is this available? This is illegal, man. And then he said, okay, if that's not enough, I can give you this kit. And I opened the kit, and there's all the fancy stuff that you see in the movies. And then I just start reading up about locks a bit, and I start with the basic things. Cash registers, that's easy. The one at the bottom and top, and it opens. So obviously I didn't do it in a shop, don't worry, or in a bank. But I realized some locks are really difficult to open, and others are much more easier. Others you just bang it and it opens up. But then there's the worst kind of locked out. That's locked out of your house. That is bad. That trilly door that's so amazing until that one day when you slam it and you realize it's a slam lock. And if a key is not in your pocket, then you are out. And that's really bad. Coming home, I remember many nights I don't want to wake my parents. Realize I don't have a key. They didn't put the key out. So getting on the black bin, stretching there through the burglar bars and with a stick and trying to reach out to a key. And then eventually I made such a lot of noise. And my mom is standing right there. And said, Yaku, do you want to come in? I said, yes, please. Now I've been busy for an hour and a half and doing all my stuff. And she just opens the door. But that's all the kind of locked out. And I realize that sometimes we feel locked out in communities. We might feel locked out as we come in here. There's a banner up there that says we're a community. We want to know God, growing together and we're learning together, grow together, and representing Christ wherever we are. But sometimes even in a group, we can be here and in our heart we feel locked out. We feel like we don't belong. We feel like there's this stuff in my heart. I don't know. I don't really connect. And one of the things that we trust God for our church is that everyone can come in here and feel welcome. And we're still growing in that. We're still growing there, and maybe if you sit there and say, I don't feel welcome yet. And then it's still something that we're not doing great at. We don't get it right. Sometimes we say that parties, there's a lot of people there. Now, I'm not talking about introvert, extrovert type of stuff, because that's a whole science on its own. I'm just saying that you can be in a crowd and you feel locked out. And we can do all the small talk at the bride that we're very good at, but we feel we're not connecting. We're locked out in a sense. And then it's so amazing to look at Jesus again. I was just reading through Luke 15, and I'll get there. Just now, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees and speaking to the religious leaders of the day, and all these guys had a certain image of God. They had this image of the Savior and what He must be and what He must bring, and this is how it's going to look, this is how it's going to be. But Jesus just threw the whole thing, the whole box. He broke through all the boxes, all the walls, everything. They didn't understand Him. They say, you are spending time with the sinners. You're spending time with the people that's really unclean in our society, the outcasts. People are shouting to you on the street as we walk, and you respond to them. And you're just including all these people everywhere. Everyone that reach out to you, they get something. There's something that comes to them, and you connect with them. And that was really baffling them. And that's where we get to the piece in Luke 15, the first two verses. Now the tax collectors and sinners, the outcasts of the time, they were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. They said, this man welcomes sinners and eat with him. This man welcomes. And welcomes mean that saying that come. I welcome you. I welcome people into my home. I say, come and dine with me. Come and eat with me. Come and share life with me. And say, Jesus welcomes sinners in each of them. He welcomes each one of us. If that's the only thing that you get, that's great. Because this morning, as I was going through this, I just said, Lord, just show me who you are again. Show me something of who you are. And that is where Jesus started. That's what they said. They said, this man welcomes sinners. And he eats with them. And that is just amazing. There's no high walls. It's not difficult to reach. It's not difficult to get in with Jesus. It's not difficult to get close to him. He welcomes. Where we often build walls and we trying to keep certain people out. And we're building all our defenses. And with Jesus, he just welcomes. And he said that, come, this is a place where you can belong. This is a place where you can feel part of. There's a place where you can be one of all the others, a new family. There's a welcome. And these religious people that are looking for someone else, they didn't understand it. And then we continue. I'm going to read some of it just quickly for us. We continue in Luke verse 3. Then Jesus told them this parable. Sometimes we read this whole part. It's first the part of the lost sheep, then the lost coin, then the lost son. Sometimes we say the prodigal son. It's actually the lost sons. We will get to that just now. It's one parable going straight through. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost sons. And what Jesus is showing these guys is he's saying, I'm going to show you something new about me. I'm going to show you something about my character, something of who I am. And this is what we see. And he starts off with, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. When I read that, I realized that there's been a party in heaven for every one of us that repented. For every one of us that came back to Jesus, that decided, I'm going to follow Jesus. That caused a stir in heaven. If you ever wondered if God is thinking about you or something, there was a party. There was a rejoicing. And it's so beautiful that Jesus is telling this guy that when there's this group of people and they are here and they are my sheep and there's one lost, then I will go and look for him. I will go and look for him. Sometimes we feel all by ourselves and say, where is God? Where is God? What's going on? This is Jesus just showing us that picture, looking for that one. And founding it, he's lifting it up above his shoulders. I found it. I found the one. Celebrating. This is the God we serve. He will look for us. He will find us. And he said, it's great for us coming here today. This is great. This is great. And we will continue and we will worship together. But even here, there's some people that's lost. Us, we're on God's heart, and there's a lot of people there. There's people part of our community, a part of our family, that's currently they're lost. Jesus is looking for them. He didn't forget about them. And things can twist often. I think we're very aware of that, just going through life. But sometimes we feel on a high, sometimes we feel on a low. The devil is walking around like a lion, trying to devour and to cause confusion, to sow lies. Sometimes we walk around with lies, and that causes us to drift. Causes us to drift, and Jesus will come, and he will come, and he wants us to come back. And if we continue, just see God in all of this. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins, and loses one. Some say that maybe this was part of a wedding band where there's a lot of coins in the band. So each one is very precious. So I want you to see the picture of losing, maybe there's a wedding ring with a lot of diamonds, and you lose one of those stones. It can cause quite a stir in your home. Okay, I'm just saying. I've been at the beach when someone lost their wedding ring. Oh my, that's like one of the, there's this guy running and say, "Ho, everyone, no one will swim anymore. This spot is cordoned off. Goggles and snorkels, we're going in, we're going to look for the ring." And we found it that day, after an hour or so. But that's a precious stone. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light the lamp? This is really, it's a precious stone. Light the lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it. When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together. Say, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And again, we see that rejoice. You see these precious stones. Each one is a precious stone. And this speaks to me that about the value of each one of us. Even some people that's not here, we're not better. And how everything stopped. How everything stopped. This woman stopped things and she cleaned up and she looked for that precious stone. This is again speaking to us. And then we get to the lost son. Actually, the lost sons. And Jesus continued. This is now Jesus speaking to these guys. And he's telling, remember in that first verse, he tells them a parable. This is all part of the parable. He said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. And often with the older son and the younger son, the division wouldn't have been just halved. It was probably more like a third going to the younger son. But this time, the father said he divided it equally between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was severe famine. And he continues, he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, which sent him to the fields to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pots that the pigs were eating. And when he came to his senses," in verse 17, when he came to his senses, sometimes we come to our senses. We realize, "Wow, I thought this and this and this. This is how everything is going to work out. It's not happening." When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." It's as if he's saying, the people in my father's house are much better off than me. And he was running away. He was looking for a lot of stuff. He was looking for a lot of things. And they say, everyone in my father's house is actually better off than me. Everyone. Even the hired servants. And he said, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father." And it's beautiful this. While he was still a long way off. We often read this. I just want you just ask God to show you something new out of the scripture. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. This father on the stoop looking out for him. The father expecting him. Started watching the road. Watching the road. The father saw him and they had long robes and stuff. And we often see that picture. He had to pick up his robes and almost not in a dignified way. And the father started running. His father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And he didn't mind the stench, he's coming out of a pigsty. This guy is dirty, this guy's been away, spoiled everything. He's not even asking questions. He's just, the Father just received him. He didn't say, where have you been? What have you done? Show me what's left. No questions. He just received him. We are the ones that often think about all the questions, all the stuff. What if this, that. But the Father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, bring the fattened calf, kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Again, a celebration. That's the younger son. The younger son that rebelled, the younger son that went out of the house, he thought it's much better outside. There's much more available. There's so many things that I'm looking for, so many things that I want. I'm going to find it somewhere. And he realized that he couldn't find it. Then there's the older son that's still in the house. Now this guy had another problem. He was also lost. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. He said, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf of him. Interesting that he knows exactly what the younger son did. And they didn't have Facebook. Didn't have cell phones. This is interesting. Maybe he sent out spies. Maybe he knew all the time. Maybe he kept his people telling other people, telling him, this is what's actually going on. It's not like he didn't. It's when the son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. The father said, my son, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours, but we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And the younger son, he never knew that he's actually home. He was looking for stuff. He was the rebellious one. The other guy was the righteous one. He was just working, slaving, doing stuff. He said, I did all of this, I did all of that, I did all of that. And yet he also didn't realize that that's not necessary. That's not necessary to do that in the Father's house at home. So both of them trying to get stuff. The younger son, he just went to the Father and said, I want my inheritance and I'm going to go. I'm going to take it and I'm going to go. And he squandered it. Because he thought through his rebellion that he can get something. The older son, he thought through doing stuff. To doing all the right stuff. To doing everything. I will get something. I'm going to get. Remember Jesus telling this to the Pharisees. And he's showing them something of the Father's heart. And then he's saying for both of them, whatever they did, they couldn't save themselves. They couldn't get what they really wanted. They couldn't do it. And he said to that older brother, he said, everything I have is yours. Everything I have is yours. Because actually just receive it. There's some things that you can receive from me. Also to the younger son, he's coming back, there's a celebration, there's the fatted calf that got on the braai, and there's a big celebration. And he said, you're coming back, this is the start of your new story. This is the start, you are also home now. And you realize you couldn't, through all of the rebellion, through all of the things that you tried, that also didn't work for you. Come back to me. And it says, God is just saying, neither one of them could save themselves. Each one need to come into the Father's home and just receive from God. Just receive. And that's where they can understand that they are truly home. When we worship God and just meet with God, there's a place where we can say that we are coming home, that we are home. It's not a thing that we have to strive for. It's not a place where we must just try to do more stuff. We can be here, and sometimes we just want a word. We just want a word of encouragement. We just want to know that this is on my heart, and this is the stuff, and what must I do with this, or these things happened, and I feel like my dreams are dashed, it's gone. Then God comes and He's saying, there's some things that I can give you. Receive it. Receive from me. Because all of us, we're trying so hard. And God is saying, receive from me. You know what the devil does? He's the master of cropping photos. You know those budget getaways. You will plan your holiday, you see the view of the beach. You think, wow, it's amazing. That's all that you see. It's the beach view. You get there, it's not a great place. They never showed you the photo of the room and the bathroom. You never know that if you open the door, if you sit on the toilet, you can't close the door. It's like there's a space problem. They didn't show you all of this. They didn't show you the entrance where you come in. The things are not great. They didn't tell you about the chicken factory, of the smell that's going over there. And you only see the beach view. So they crop some of those photos. And that's what the devil will do. He will show us a very nice picture and say, if only this and this and this. And he crops out. The master of Photoshop. He crops out all of these things. And there's an image that's available for us. And we think, wow. That is going to give me that beach view. That is going to give me this amazing place. That is going to give me this. I must just do this. I'm going to get there. I will experience this. I'm going to have this. And then we either start going into doing a lot of stuff to get somewhere, and to do it and to get it in our own strength, or maybe we just rebelled. And I'm just going to do it. And God is saying, come home. You are welcome home. God welcomes sinners. He welcomes people just like us. He welcomes people that is messed up. He's not asking a lot of questions. The conversations can happen later. But first, it's just a welcome. Everyone is welcome. And often we lose sight of the good that is right in front of us. We forget what God is offering us and what is available in the house. We forget that what's available. It's almost like the younger son when he was there in the pigsty and he came to his senses and he realized, wow, it was actually good in my father's house. I think we're actually not even aware of everything that's available in the father's house. So we get stuck a little bit, maybe in the kitchen. There's a lot more. There's a lot more that we can look forward to. And as we get to know God, we will discover more and more. And it's something that we must really try to let it settle in our hearts. We say it all the time, God is a good God. We speak about these things. We say we are welcomed as we are, but there's a place where it must really settle in our hearts. Because if it didn't settle, if it's still confusion, then it's easy for lies to come in or for things to derail us. And then we doubt again. And I'm not saying it's bad to doubt. I'm saying just be aware of it. Just be aware of it. Talk about it. It was so good for me during the week. There was a time that I was just a bit down. And I didn't know what to do. I just took my Bible, sat on my bed, and just started reading. And it was like this read through the Bible in a year thing. So I just opened it at the current date, and I just started reading. And reading in the Old Testament, and I could experience how the Word is actually changing my mood. And this is not magic or stuff. It's just there to experience. And it was, I stood up after a while. I remember Lisa, what's wrong? Now sometimes your wife or someone asks you what's wrong, and you don't really know what to say, or you don't want to say something. And they ask you again, so what's wrong? Tell me. I said, man, I'm not sure. Sometimes it's not a good enough answer. So maybe later I'll tell you more. I don't know. Sometimes I'm not sure. But I was better after spending time in the Word. That I was sure of. I could stand up there and say, something happened here. Something there was available for me. It's available with me all the time. And it's just God that's there for us. And this younger son returning to God, I just imagine that he must have felt terrible. He must have felt there's all these accusations, all the stuff that people are going to say. I say, this is what happened. I was the one. It's actually my fault. And just the father, he was not surprised. He was just looking out for him. He was just saying, welcome back. And the older one, always just doing all the right stuff. Both actually wanted their father's stuff. Both wanted the inheritance. Remember the older one, he said, this guy just spoiled his half. So now we've bride the fatted calf. That's actually my calf. Because he messed up all his bit. He doesn't have anything left. So whatever we're taking here, whatever we're using for the party, that's my stuff. And he got offended. An offense is an ugly thing. It's like a trap. It's like a trap with the devil used to. If you step in that thing, it just traps you, it grips you in your heart. And you close yourself off for the love of people and also for the love of God. Just to come in. My friend Deval, Pastor Deval, he always, when he talks about offenses, he said it's like, this is the offense. And he say that offense is something like that. You hold it there against someone, but you're the one holding it there. If you're going to let go, it's going to fall. That's how I just remember always this picture. You'll have two people walking around the church, and the one is holding the paper up. So that's the offense. And you're holding it up until you let go. And I'm not saying everything is immediately right, but yeah, it's just when God can come in and he can do something again. And this one of the last things I just want to add. In this striving, in this rebellion of the younger son, the striving of the older son, they both destroyed community. The older son, he didn't want to join the party. The younger son, he ran away from home. He was on his own, doing his own thing. The older son was in the house, but not part of. There was a party going on, there's a celebration, and he don't want to join. Because he's got this offense, this bitterness in his heart. And both had to be welcomed back. Both had to say, okay. The father had to welcome the one back, and he had to say to the other one, come. Come to the party. Come in. It's just, yeah, I just love this. And I realized that for some of us, we maybe there's part of that we really rebelled, maybe we're running away, trying things in our own strength. All this stuff that we just work for, that we try to, we're going to get it. We're going to do all the right stuff. I'm going to almost save myself. Or maybe there's just a special need. Maybe there's a hurt. There's something that happened. There's a certain feeling that we get at certain times. There's a certain thing. And God can come today. He can do something about that. There's some things that, that's where I started out and says, there's something that we can receive from God that only He can do. He's the one that can bring the healing. He's the one that brings the acceptance. He's the one that brings the love. He's the one that welcomes us back. These are all things that God is doing. So as we close today, I want to say that, yeah, just go home, you read the scripture again and say, Lord, show me who you are. Show me who you are, God. I'm doing all the right stuff, I'm coming here, but show me your heart again. Show me that the one that welcomes me when I come, the one that rejoices over me, the one that says that everything is available to you. And just help me to respond to your heart. Help me to respond to what you are doing. And we all know, we all need to know these things. Because the devil doesn't leave us alone. And offenses will come. Jesus said that. Offenses will come. Each one of us, we get to a place where we feel, wow, I'm drifting again, or offense has jumped into my heart, or this is where I'm at right now. And then we all need to come back again. Then we all need to say, okay, Lord, I'm coming back to you again. Let us stand. I want to say again today that this is home. And everyone is welcomed here. When we come together as God's people, we are stepping into home. We are stepping into a beautiful place and into something that only God can do. And this is what God is coming back for His bride, for the church. It's amazing, and we make many mistakes, and we have many battles. We fight. Sometimes we fight battles with one another. Sometimes we fight battles in our home. But God is just saying that, receive from me. Receive from me. I can meet you where you're at. I can change something. Reach out to me. Even in desperate situations. There are things that I'm holding on to, that I'm trusting God for. I don't know if it's going to come to pass. I don't know if it's going to happen. But I know I serve an almighty and I serve a good God. I'm going to hold on to that forever. I'm going to run strong. And trusting in God. He's enough. And our story is part of God's story. There's some that say that Jesus is the perfect older brother. He's the only one that's righteous. He's the only one that doesn't have to do anything. He's in the house. He's the one that got killed, that we can have life, that we can have a celebration. Father, this morning we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you are doing, Lord, and that you are still actively working in our lives, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you will open our eyes and help us to see who you really are, Lord. I'm so aware, Lord, that some of us, we rebel, and some of us, we just strive. We do all the right things, but we don't feel like we're getting anywhere. And you just come and you say, welcome. Welcome home. Welcome. Before anything else, before any of the conversations, you say, everything I have is yours. Lord, I pray that you will help each one of us, Lord, to come back to you. on a daily basis. To reach out to you on a daily basis. Thank you that you are enough, God. I'm just going to read a short piece about, from Isaiah 40. You can just stand there. You don't have to look at the slides or anything. Isaiah 40 verse 28 says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Lord, we thank you for strong men, for strong women. We thank you, Lord, for people that will run strong, that will not grow weary, because they hope in you. And thank you, Lord, that today we can declare, I can look at everyone here, Lord, and declare, Lord, that you are with them, and as they hope in you, as they trust in you, that they will not grow weary. Yes, Lord, today we just speak life, Lord. We worship you, God. We're almost finished. We're just going to sing a song, and I just want you to respond. Maybe there's something that you just want to pray or say to God. Just say it. It's just a start. And then we're going to finish and enjoy some fellowship at the back. But just quickly, just respond to God.